From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
It's nice for me, Amanda, to meet you again in our terrestrial program. And today we have prepared you some segments, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information. And not to mention, we also have provided some songs from across Indonesia. So make sure to keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Releasing Indonesian contingent of SEA Games 2019 Manila, President Joko Widodo targets top 2. Vice President Maruf Amin hopes Indonesia to become a global exporter of halal products. Now the news in detail. At Bogor Palace in West Java Wednesday, President Joko Widodo released an Indonesian contingent who will compete at the 2019 SEA Games in Manila, the Philippines. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo does hope that the Indonesian contingent for the 2019 SEA Games will be able to reach the second largest ranking of total medals. He confirmed that the target is very heavy. However, he is optimistic that the Indonesian contingent will be able to achieve this target.
Kita tahu di Asian Games kita dulu berada di ranking.
We know that the Asian Games, we used to be ranked 15 and ranked 17, but we were able to jump to 4th place. At the previous SEA Games, we were ranked 5th, but I asked at the 30th SEA Games in the Philippines this year, we have to get in the top 2. Ready? Ready? Ready. Example, it is not about the ranking that is easy to achieve, but SEA prone. I see from your faces showing high spirits. What we hope for, what we have said, is that we can truly achieve it. Even though we know it is not easy, I know that your struggle supported by 267 million of our people will give you the spirit of your struggle to win as many medals as possible at the 30th SEA Games in the Philippines.
Saudara-saudara yang didukung oleh 260 juta rakyat kita akan memberikan sebuah semangat tersendiri bagi perjuangan saudara-saudara meraih medali yang sebanyak-banyaknya di SEA Games ke-30 di Filipina.
Indonesia sends 841 athletes who will compete in 51 sports from a total of 56 sports that are competed. In addition, Indonesia also sends 256 trainers and officials who will assist the athletes. In total, Indonesia sends 1,303 people to the 30th SEA Games in the Philippines. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said in Jakarta on Wednesday that President Joko Widodo paid attention to the protection of Indonesian citizens during his visit to South Korea. Antara News Agency reported that Minister Retno explained there were two major meetings held by President Joko Widodo while in South Korea. The South Korea ASEAN Summit to commemorate 30 years of ASEAN relations with Korea, and President Joko Widodo's bilateral meeting with South Korean President Moon Jae-in. The meeting resulted in many concrete points that were agreed by both of them. Minister Retno Marsudi also said that the agreement discussed was in context of trade, including the rise of protectionism. Thus, Indonesia and South Korea completed negotiation on the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement between the two countries. In addition, both presidents agreed to sign the agreement in early 2020. Vice President Maruf Amin hopes that Indonesia will be able to develop and expand the halal product industry, which can eventually be exported to meet the world's needs. He said that the potential for halal products on the world market is quite huge. This product consists not only food and drinks, but also tourism services, Muslim fashion, Muslim media, and entertainment, including cosmetic and medicine. Vice President Ma'ruf also explained in Malang City, East Java, on Wednesday that in 2017, the world's halal product reached $2.1 trillion, and it is expected to continue to grow to $3 trillion in 2023. Vice President Ma'ruf also wants Indonesia to be able to increase the export potential of halal products, which currently only covers around 3.8% of the total global halal market. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, represented by Deputy for Inter-Institutional Regional Relations, Enda Wahyu Sulistianti, said that her side promotes Pilon as a means of promoting industry. She also remarked that ahead, the location of Pilon, which becomes a tourism destination, will also be promoted by making the Pilon as a means of industrial promotion. This was stated by Enda Wahyu while attending the national seminar on the management of Pilon trusteeship funds and the implementation of competitive and inclusive Pilon tax incentives in Jakarta on Wednesday. She added that the way to promote it is to have a breakthrough by utilizing a digital platform.
Kebijakan Pak Menteri sekarang yang baru.
The minister policy is now new, not only the Pilon we are promoting later, but also the location of our Pilon as a tourism destination. So we will use the Pilon as a means of industrial promotion. Later, the way we promote is in ways that have more breakthroughs, because now we can't just join the festival. We must participate in the festival, but we must also hold international distributors in the films. Now there are digital platforms that we can use. Meanwhile, head of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Laksana Trihandoko, said the result of an analysis of the output of the study on physical incentives for the film industry in Indonesia in 2018, conducted by LIPI and the Creative Economy Agency, so the film industry, both in the context of output and its role in tax recipients, is relatively insignificant. However, the sector has large cultural, social, and political impact, and it is a major role for the government's partisanship to increase the valuation of this non-monetary dimension to the national film industry. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law, and Security, Mahfud MD, reminded the Indonesian Ombudsman to be one of the creation produced in the reform era. This was compared by Minister Mahfud when opening the seminar Profactive and Awarding Compliance in 2019, which was held by the Indonesian Ombudsman in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also said that the Ombudsman was formed by the government to help mediate relations with the people if they do not have direct access to the government. If there are people who experience abuse from the government institution, they can report to the Ombudsman, who will later convey it to the government and take part in rectifying. Thus, Minister Mahfud calls for all official government institutions and the community to jointly strengthen the Ombudsman of the Republic of Indonesia. Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, BGPIAND, emphasizes the importance of cooperation with local entrepreneurs, especially for large and strategic investments. As quoted by Antara, Sector Promotion Director of Investment Coordinating Board, Imam Sujari, in his written statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, said the local entrepreneurs have to have networks that can be utilized by investors, so that investment realization becomes easier and faster. Conversely, the local entrepreneurs can also increase their capacity, and in the end of a win-win situation will be created. Cooperation with local entrepreneurs has become one of the focuses of the Investment Coordinating Board in the era of leadership of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Ma'ruf Amin. The last item, the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs encourages the ratification of Anti-Torture Convention in ASEAN countries and the Asia-Pacific region through the Seminar on Regional Convention Against Torture Initiative 2019. The Director General of Multilateral Cooperation at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Pebriant Rudia, said in Bali on Wednesday that Indonesia is one of the initiators of the convention at the high-level meeting of United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva, Switzerland in 2014. As created by Antara, the seminar, which lasted for 3 days, was participated by ASEAN countries and the Asia-Pacific region. The seminar aims to improve the capacity of participating countries to ratify and implement the UN Convention Against Torture. This seminar is a means to share experiences in facing challenges, developing and implementing the principle of Convention Against Torture in the legislation and institutional system of national law enforcement. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesian Contingent Ready to Compete at the 2019 SEA Games in Manila. Well, listener, at Bogor Palace in West Java on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo released the Indonesian contingent who will compete at the 2019 SEA Games in Manila, the Philippines. Indonesia is bearing a heavy burden in the 2019 SEA Games following its success at the 2018 Asian Games by reaching a position in the top 5 in Asia. There are several reasons why not all athletes were inaugurated and released by President Joko Widodo, because some sport athletes have departed beforehand to the Philippines, such as athletes of the floorball polo and water polo. In his report to President Joko Widodo, Minister of Youth and Sports, Zainuddin Amali said that Indonesia sends 841 athletes to compete at the SEA Games in the Philippines. They will compete in 51 sports. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo emphasized that the athletes led for the Philippines are to represent the people of Indonesia. Thus, he asked the Indonesian athletes to fight for their best. President Joko Widodo also hopes that Indonesian contingent will be included as top 2 or runner-up in the 2019 SEA Games event. Since joining the event in 1977, Indonesia had been the grand champion of SEA Games for 10 times. However, for SEA Games 2019 in the Philippines, Indonesia is not the favorite to be the champion. Yet considering Indonesian track record, including the successful Asian Games 2018, there should be high target in SEA Games 2019 with the high sportsmanship. However, 10 victories in the past should be a way to fight harder for the medal achievement in Manila, the Philippines. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on November 28, 1960, the Independence Day of Mauritania. The official name of Mauritania is Islamic Republic of Mauritania. The state is located in Maghreb region in the west of North Africa. Mauritania has been part of West Africa of France since 1920 as protected area and a French colony. The French government prohibited slaves and ended war among clans. During the colonial era, 90% population was still nomad. Earlier, the capital city of the state was under the government of France, Saint-Louis, located in Senegal. In November 28, 1960, Mauritania gained its independence from France. Nouakchott was elected to be new capital city of Mauritania. Next event is that in 1979, a plane of New Zealand Air crashed Mount Airbus. A plane of New Zealand Air Flight 901 with registration number ZKNZP crashed Mount Airbus at the Antarctic Pole. It was scheduled to fly from Auckland, New Zealand for sightseeing flight to the Antarctica. The destination of the plane was Christchurch International Airport, New Zealand. The plane carried 237 passengers and 20 crews. All of them were killed in the accident. The last event is Indonesia Tree Planting Day. The sixth Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono declared Indonesia Tree Planting Day on November 28, 2008. On the occasion, the President planted Nyamplung Tree or Calopilium inopilum L, and the First Lady planted Sukun Tree or Artocarpus communis, as a sign of the start of planting 100 million trees simultaneously in 2008 throughout Indonesia. President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono wanted to make tree planting tradition for Indonesian people. The event is the Indonesian strategy to anticipate global climate change, degradation, and deforestation of forests and land, and other environmental damage which causes decreasing of productivity of nature and environmental preservation. Well, listener, that's today in history.
Oh, aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki.
That was a song titled Cinta Sendiri by Kahitna. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you our segment, My Indonesia. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Indonesia Host Conference of the Parties COP4 Minamata Convention 2021. The second plenary session of the Conference of the Parties COP of the Minamata Convention in Geneva, Switzerland on Monday, November 25, designated Indonesia as the host of COP4 Minamata Convention in 2021. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar, who led the Indonesian delegation of the session, said that it is important for Indonesia to be the host because complexity of mercury issue quite high in Indonesia. Many member countries of COP4, Minamata Convention, have serious attention, especially since President Joko Widodo went to Maluku in 2015. Mercury cases in Indonesia are sourced from small-scale gold mining, which mostly conducts illegally. Minister Siti Nurbaya said, at the limited cabinet meeting in 2017, President emphasized about the importance of to solve the issue that caused many casualties caused by the spread of Minamata disease. In addition, people's attention is also quite high. This is very important, related to the determination of President Jokowi's government to carry out environmental restoration. Minister Siti Nurbaya also said, Indonesia will get advantages from various international events held in Indonesia. Minister Siti Nurbaya, at the opening of COP or COP Minamata Convention, explained that Indonesian government continued to implement a number of concrete steps in effort to eliminate the use of mercury. Firstly, on medical devices such as thermometer, blood pressure measuring devices, and dental amalgams, as well as other medical devices that contain mercury, will be forbidden to use, beginning 2020 gradually in hospitals and health clinics. Secondly, the government is conducting social transformation program, economy and environment for small-scale gold mining community to switch from their old jobs. Thirdly, the Indonesian government continued to socialize technology application of alternative process to eliminate the use of mercury. 9 pilot projects currently has been conducted in 9 provinces supported by Canada. The last, the government also continued to implement law enforcement on illegal practice of the use of mercury. Minister Siti Nurbaya moreover added that Indonesian government, through the Environment and Forestry Ministry, continue to increase people's awareness through the hashtag Stop Mercury campaign, with education about the danger of mercury as well as the danger to the people's health. That was My Indonesia.
Tersirat apa yang kan terjadi. Kau ingin pergi dariku, meninggalkan semua kenangan, menutup lembaran cerita. Oh sayangku, aku tak mau. Ku tahu semua akan berakhir, tapi ku tak rela lepaskanmu. Kau tanya mengapa aku tak ingin pergi darimu, dan mulutku diam membisu. Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu? Jangan tanyakan mengapa, karena aku tak tahu. Aku pun tak ingin bila kau pergi tinggalkan aku. Masihkah ada hasratmu untuk mencintaiku lagi? Apakah yang harus aku lakukan untuk menarik perhatianmu lagi? Oh, walaupun harus mengubah tetap di sini, lihat aku, duhai sayangku. Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu? Jangan tanyakan mengapa, karena aku tak tahu. Aku pun tak ingin bila kau pergi tinggalkan aku. Masihkah ada hasratmu untuk mencintaiku lagi? Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu? Masihkah ada hasratmu untuk mencintaiku lagi?
Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu? Jangan tanyakan mengapa, karena aku tak tahu. Aku pun tak ingin bila kau pergi tinggalkan aku.
Listener, that was a song titled Salahkah Aku Terlalu Mencintaimu or Is It Wrong For Me To Love You by Fatin. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present your program, Indonesian Wonder. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. Today, I invite you to visit Tumurun Private Museum in Central Java. Listener, traveling to the city of Solo, Central Java, there is a contemporary and Instagrammable tourism site that you must visit. The object, called Tumurun Private Museum, which is located on Jalan Kebangkitan Nasional Teposanan Sriwedari, Laweyan. The Tumurun Private Museum was founded by the next generation of Sri Rajaki Isman or Sri Tex Group, Iwan Lukminto. The building and collection of this museum is a fusion of contemporary art with various other works of art. Most of the art collections in this museum are private collections belonging to the late Lukminto, who has hobby to collecting old cars and various paintings from famous painters. Tumurun Private Museum is one of Lukminto's extended family's dedication in the art in Indonesia, especially fine arts. This museum is the pride of the people of Solo in particular, and Indonesian people in general. The museum, built in white color and modern style with a good lighting and music system. When you look around the museum,
You will be guided by a museum guide for an hour to enjoy various collections inside. This museum consists of two floors. On the ground floor contains about 100 contemporary art collections. Then on the upper floors, there are displayed modern art collections. Still at the ground floor, there are a number of works of art belonging to Eko Nugroho, Edi Susanto, Haridono, Edi Hara, and Entang Wiharso, including some interesting works. One of them is a collection of Weda Riyadi titled Changing Perspective. This blue floating eye sculpture has a very deep meaning about the privacy in the era of social media like nowadays. Next to the statue, there is an eye statue with a size of 5 meters, equipped with a pair of legs. This statue also implies the meaning that the current technology seems to have become the eyes that oversees the movements of every human being in the world. Another interesting collection is the work of art from Indonesian well-known artist Haridono, with the title Batman and Super Bat in 2013. The artwork is a form of Haridono's critical against the war between the United States and Iraq. Listener, artworks on the upper floors are indeed not open to public, but you can still access information from the guide. Here is an area for modern art collections that displays the works of old master artists. Famous works of art on this floor painted by Avandi, Antonio Blanco, Basuki Abdullah, Walter Spies, Raden Saleh, and many others. After going around the museum, you are given about 15 minutes to take pictures. But there are some rules for the visitors, such as not turning on the camera flash, not touching the objects, and not standing too close to the museum collections. Tumurun Private Museum is not open to public, but the museum owner opens a special schedule and you must register online free of charge. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Tumurun Private Museum in Solo, Central Java. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You've just listened to a song titled Rinduku Adinda by Protonema. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. And for the next segment, we present you information in our program Miscellany. And today's information is about the ban of e-scooter on the road. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia. Listener, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, I'm going to present you information entitled Scooter and E-Scooter Banned from Operating on Roads. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia. Scooter and e-scooter have gained huge popularity among the community in Jakarta, especially young generations. Some of them use e-scooters as a means of transportation, while others are fond of taking photos while riding the e-scooters. However, the use of e-scooters has raised a number of issues. Many e-scooter riders use sidewalks, footbridges, and roads. Even recently, an e-scooter user has passed away due to a car accident in Senayan, South Jakarta. Mm-hmm. listener to prevent more accidents due to the use of scooter and e-scooter and to curb the use of e-scooter, the provincial government of Jakarta through the transportation office has begun to curb e-scooter and on roads. The e-scooters are banned from operating on roads and bicycle lanes. The regulation has been imposed since November 25, 2019. Head of the Jakarta Transportation Office, Shafrin Limputo, explained that his side will synergize with the police to curb the use of e-scooter on roads. He also explained that the regulation is implemented on rented e-scooters, which are mainly used by people such as Grab Wheels and Migo. E-scooters are only allowed to operate in certain areas, such as in the area of Gelora Bung Karno Stadium or GBK and Ancol Theme Park. In addition, e-scooter users are advised to comply with safety procedure and rules such as by wearing safety helmet and riding their e-scooters on the available lanes. Listener Shafrin also pointed out that the Jakarta Transportation Office will impose the regulations on the use of e-scooters on roads. Firstly, authority will reprimand users who infringe the rule and ask them to return to the available lanes. The second measure is by applying repressive judicial measure, namely the Transportation Office will give strict sanctions such as by fining the users, confiscating their scooters, and informing the operators of the scooters. That's Miscellany Today.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Sampai kapan lagi ku harus kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkinkah menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Tiada lagi yang ku harapkan, tiada lagi yang ku impikan. Biar aku sendiri tanpa dirimu. Tiada lagi, tiada cintaku, takkan lagi ku bersamamu. Biar ku simpan
still joining us. That was a song by Mayang Sari titled Tiada Lagi or No More. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you information about Indonesian music, so stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia. And this is our program, Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. It's nice to meet you again in Music Corner. Today's edition will present a song by Teti Kadi. Teti Kadi Bawono is a singer and cousin of Arianto, the famous pop song composer in Indonesia. In the 1970s era, people really admired the songs that were sung by Teti Kadi. Her artistic talent was also owned by her three children, namely Inu, Mala, and Tantra, who are from a band called Numata. One of Teti Kadi's hit songs, entitled Sepanjang Jalan Kenangan, was composed by Arianto. This song tells about someone visiting the town with full of memories of someone they firstly loved. Although the couple lovers are no longer together, the sweet memories in the town cannot be forgotten. Listener, here is the song Sepanjang Jalan Kenangan by Teti Kadi. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, thank you very much for joining our broadcasting, and also don't forget to give us your comments and feedback to our email address voi@voinews.id, and not to mention, just don't forget to send us your feedback to our social media like Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, as well as Twitter @voiindonesia. Thank you so much. I'm Amanda. Have a great day.